Well, good morning, everybody. You guys are a tough crowd to prepare for, that's for sure. We are excellent word from Corwin this morning. I was telling Corwin I have the Bible app on my phone, you know, and it gives you like a scripture of the day, and most days I forget to even look at it. But today I flipped my phone open and the Alpha and Omega scripture was on my Bible app in my phone for the verse of the day, and that's the same scripture he used today for communion. So okay, well let's bring up my sidekick here. So the best way to kick this off is, you know, obviously preparing for this message, I, you know, took some time and did things a little bit differently so than what the Lord normally has me do. So I was listening to, you know, just trying to listen to a lot of Rick's stuff leading up to this. I didn't really want to reach out outside of, you know, what's going on here with us. And so I was listening to a lot of Rick's stuff, listening to Kevin's great message the other day a couple times and just going through everything. So in honor of Josiah's favorite pastor, you know, we got Rick, we got Kevin, we got his dad. In honor of his favorite pastor, Joel Osteen, he's going to come up and give us a joke here to start us off this morning. Come on up, bud. All right, you're set, okay?
Okay.
Take it easy, all right? Take a deep breath. You ready? You got it? Everybody's looking at you. How's your hair look this morning? Looking good? Looks good, bud. You're good.
Well, there's three sisters living together. There's a 96-year-old, a 94-year-old, and a 92-year-old. The 96-year-old went upstairs and to get a bath. She put one foot in and said, "I can't remember if I was getting in the bath or out of the bath." And then she yelled down to the 94-year-old. And then she said, "Don't worry, I'll get you in a second." She went up the stairs, and she was halfway up the steps and stopped and said, "I can't remember if I was going up the stairs or down the stairs." And then the 92-year-old said, "Don't worry, I'll be up to get both of you." She said, "I hope I don't get that forgetful, knocked on wood for good luck." She said, "I'll be up to get both of you as soon as I see he's at the door."
So the 90. Good job, big guy. Good job, Zai. All right, you want to go sit down? You're going to hang out up here with me? Wow, okay. Yeah, it's fine. If you want to hang out up here, you can. All right. You can hang out up here with me. You just can't talk. Can't take over. Yeah, that's true, maybe. It's probably going to have something to do with Legos or a superhero movie, though, right? Maybe. So, as I was preparing for this message, I'm gonna apologize up front because it kind of goes well together, but I'm not real sure how to tie it all together. And then as it started going, it was kind of like a snowball going downhill. It just began to pick up steam for me and went kind of everywhere, kind of covered everything. So we'll see if I can make sense of this and put it all together here. For us. So, but, and like I said before, I tried to tie this into a lot of, you know, what Rick was already doing and what Kevin and the Lord just tied it all together, I think, really well. And that was a good messages the last few weeks from both of those guys holding us all down here. So those of you that haven't heard, And mostly it's most of the ones that aren't here. I was going to pick on, you know, Jordan and Megan and Josh and Morgan, all the ones that normally sit in the back row there, but none of them showed up today either, so we'll get them later. The other thing we're going to do is, I think today is Brad Salisbury's birthday, if anybody is can confirm or deny that. According to my phone, today is Brad's birthday, but he didn't show up either. I was going to have us all sing to him, and I think it's 50, I do believe. So Rob is shaking his head, yes, it should be. So I think today is Brad Salisbury's 50th birthday, so. Okay, so today this is basically all I can bring today is where I'm at and what I'm walking out. So the Lord has been working on me about just where I have been in life. For about the last 15, 20 years of my life, probably more like 15, I've been in this place where I came out of, had all my dreams and all my aspirations, was on fire for the Lord, was, ready to go be a missionary to wherever he wanted me to go, and, So over time, the Lord has brought me into this. You go ahead. I'm sure you guys can all relate with this. You get married, you start having kids, you have a real job, and pretty soon, all those aspirations are beginning to go away. They're all pretty much gone and now non-existent. So I'm just in this place where I'm dealing with everyday life. I'm dealing with work, wife, kids, family, friends, lack thereof, all that sort of stuff. And I began to get in this place where I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting for you to take me in this direction that you promised me, to fulfill the promises that you have, the prophetic words that I've gotten, all this stuff. And I'm sure you guys can relate to some of this as you're waiting for, whether it's a house, whether it's land, whether it's, a job, whether it's, a husband or a wife, a spouse, kids, whatever it is. And so So as I'm in this place, I begin to feel stuck. I begin to feel, like I've missed something. Okay, God must have moved and I didn't realize it. Or maybe I moved and stepped out of his presence. I stepped out of where he has me. So I begin to, do the same thing. If I don't feel God where I'm at, I'm going to try and go back to the last place that I found him. Okay. So I begin to, the last place that I found him was in these late nights of when I was before kids and before marriage. I would come out two or three nights a week out to the tent, and I would just spend time in, soaking in the Lord. I would just turn on a CD. It was just me and him. Sometimes Rick or Kenny would straggle in if they were around, but I would just spend this time in this place. Obviously now between work and between wife and kids, that was no longer an option. All right. I couldn't get back to that. So I began to look for him at conferences. I began to look for him to show up. I can remember coming to the Rodney events that we did. We did a 2-week long event for Rodney, and Marie and I had a newborn baby. Josiah was just little, so that's been 8 or 9 years ago. And we tried to show up every night of the 2-week events, and most nights I spent sitting back in the cry room with a baby, playing with him on the floor. But I felt like I was missing it. I felt like, Father, I'm missing. So you show up to the conference, and of course, I'm sure I'm the only one that does this, but I'm expecting, right? Like, okay, I'm going to sit in the back, and I know the Lord's going to point me out, and the speaker's going to have a specific word just for me. you know, and I'm sitting in this, you know, sitting in these conferences, just hoping that, like, okay, God, this is where we're going to connect. I know it. I'm going to sit here and nothing came. Nothing came. No words came. And so, so I even went as far as, for one of them, there was a speaker in, and it was kind of towards the end of his meeting, and he kind of gave an open, like, if anybody needs any prayer for anything, come up and see me. I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm going for broke. I'm going up, and I start to get out of my seat, and as I start to walk up, I hear the Lord say, he's not going to have anything for you. I thought, but surely, listen, I'm not in a place where I'm hearing the voice of the Lord real well, so I thought, that's got to be the enemy telling me he's not going to have anything for me. So I walk up, and the speaker says, all right, give me your hands, you know. And I give him my hands, and we're sitting here, and we're praying, and he's listening. And he says, and we're standing there for a minute. He prays something, you know, come, you know, something like that, come Holy Spirit, whatever it was. He kind of looks at me, and he says, I want you to tune in too. I said, okay. So I'm sitting here, I'm trying. He looks at me, and he says, you getting anything? And I said, no. He says, neither am I. Okay, that was it. He turned and walked away, and I turned and walked away. That was all we got. I'm like, okay, all right. So in the last few years, the Lord has begun to, I think, unfold kind of, you know, where I've been, where I'm still at, and why he has me in this place. So I began to realize that where I was is the Lord had me where I was waiting in him. I was in this place. I feel that so often, whether it's from, you know, whether it's from jealousy, or from envy, or it could be, you know, even just any of the emotions, right? It could be anger, could be offense. But so often the Lord is telling us to sit and to wait in this place. You know, he's telling you, you know, hold where you're at. And in that time, he even gave me the vision of, you know, you guys have all, well, some of you have seen, it's a really old movie now, but Braveheart, in terms of my kids, that's a really old movie now. So, you know, the movie Braveheart, whenever, you know, the enemy's charging at him and they're just standing and, you know, Braveheart screaming, right, hold, you know, and they're just standing there holding. And the Lord began to give me that picture of just waiting on him. You know, as I watched other people around me seemingly, you know, get the jobs that they wanted, get the houses that they wanted, see the Lord move in their lives, and I'm standing in this place where it doesn't seem like he's moving in mine. So I began to, you know, I now look back and I wonder, you know, how many times did I try to move and actually cause myself to have to stay in this place longer? You know, a lot of times our response is, you know, I tease my wife. She is excellent at beating down doors. If there is an obstacle in her way, she will kick the door down and get whatever is needed done. And so I began to tease her about, you know, wanting to just, you know, but that's what begins to rise up in us as we stand there and we look around. We want to begin to just push down the doors. You know, we begin to want to say, you know, I'm going to go find another job, whether I step out of his favor or not. I'm going to go move. And I kind of want to explain a little bit about, you know, why I think that happens, why I think we head down that road a little bit. So make sure I got all this. Like I said, my notes are all over the place on this. So, okay, I did all that. So the Lord began to speak to me, as I said, about waiting, you know, waiting in him, about waiting for him to bring this about. So as I was looking this up, he began to speak to me about, you know, Kevin had spoke about times of soaking, being in your closet, you know, that season of, and that, you know, sustains you. Of being in your secret place with the Lord. And so there was a time, as I said before, you know, when that was a lot more ready for me. That was a lot easier access for me, was, you know, and I could find a specific secret place. You know, I could get by myself into the church and I could turn music on and it was just me and him and we could spend our time there. But, and in that time, he began to, you know, he took me down a lot of different things. One of the things that I actually listened to quite a bit was Mike Bickle's teaching on Song of Solomon. So I spent some time in that. But anyway, so the Lord brings that back to me as I'm in this place. And he begins to show me kind of where he has me, you know, through using that story. So you have the, at the beginning of the Song of Solomon story, you have kind of the dating, the romance time, you know, between the beloved and the woman there. And so that's, you know, that's the secret place. That's where you're at. You know, that's that time of romance and dating when you're spending that time with the Lord, you're pouring your life into that. And that's in chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 3, then, she actually has a section where she goes out in the city searching for him. You know, he's not there. You know, she turns and looks for her beloved, but he's not there. And she goes out in the city and searches for him. And she sees the watchman. And it says, shortly after she sees the watchman, she finds her beloved. You know, and so again, that's, you know, I'm still in this training area, right? So the Lord is using that time to show you, you know, what he has for you with the beloved. And he's getting you to this point. So they use the phrase in there, this is a little bit later. And in chapter 5, then she comes back and the Shulamite woman comes back and says, the beloved's gone. So she goes out and looks for him again, just as she had in chapter 3. But this time when she finds the watchman, the beloved isn't nearby. And so this is the point where the watchman, she actually gets struck by the watchman. They take her veil. You know, some things begin to unfold that are not pleasant for her there. And they ask her in that moment, they said, why are you looking for this beloved over any other? You know, what makes your beloved any better than any other? And by this point, the phrase that she uses is lovesick. I am lovesick for my beloved, right? And so in chapters 1, 2, and 3, that's where, you know, that's what he's building. He is building in us a place where we become lovesick for him. And I'm going to refer to this as this lovesick feeling, you know, I'm going to refer to this as growing deep roots, right? This is where you're going to grow deep roots so deep in the beloved that I can't move from this place. No matter what happens, I can't move from there's no other beloved that I can go after. You know, as the watchman, what makes your beloved any better than, and she begins to tell, you know, and that's what, and what Kevin's talking about there, that's what he's growing there. You know, he's in this secret place, he's growing that the beloved is, you know, my roots are deep, and that you can, you know, that this is your beloved. This is the beloved that you are after, no other. And so very similar to, that is actually the place where, you know, I really feel like I was at, was, you know, the Lord has me in this waiting place where he's taking me out. You know, I'm out into the city. I can't find him. You know, I'm coming to conferences. I'm looking, asking people, you know, I'm showing up to say, you know, have you seen my beloved? Do you know where he's at for me? I can't find him. You know, and obviously as I approach everybody, they're all going, no, we haven't seen him. We can't find him for you either. But in that time, the Lord put me in this place where I had deep roots. You know, I had deep roots and I was able to stay, you know, rooted and grounded. And I didn't question, you know, who my beloved was or what beloved I was chasing. I was stuck in this place, you know, even though I felt stuck, you know, I was still rooted and grounded in who he was. And so, I've always heard this, this story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't know if you can even prove it, but they said that if you took a tree, right, and planted it in a controlled environment, like a dome or something like that, and you let it grow, that when it became mature and of full age, that if you took the environment away from it, took the dome off of it, that because there was no wind or anything to push against the tree as it's growing, that it would actually fall over. It wouldn't take much of a wind to actually blow it over because the roots don't go deep. The roots would just be shallow because there was nothing to build the strong roots. And so as I was preparing for this, I started pulling out some of my old, I had some note cards from times I had spent with the Lord. Most of them were dated like 2004, 2005, so from a while ago. And I had wrote down, you know, things like prophetic words on them, some different scriptures and stuff. So as I was preparing for this, I pulled out this scripture. So Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And so the Lord began to speak to me about, you know, again, he's, you know, I'm in this place of waiting. You know, I'm going to call it, you know, the song, they sang the song today, actually, about, you know, about waiting on, waiting here for you. You know, I'm waiting here for you. But the other song is the Take Courage, by Bethel Music, the one, and it's really the chorus of it, you know, that says, take courage, my heart, be steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. And so, as I was preparing for this, you know, about growing deep roots, holding on to your hope, when you're in this place where you're in the waiting, and I'm going to rename the cry rooms. I'm going to have Rick talk to him. We're going to rename the cry rooms and the classrooms in the back. We're going to rename those in the waiting, so that all of us parents that are back there with our kids holding on, we are in the waiting. I'm getting a thumbs up from Corwin back there, because Corwin is absolutely the picture of in the waiting, man. If you guys saw him today, it was great. He's got like anything he can throw at the kids because he's got this job to do up here, you know. Tom Muck had, you know, handed on to him the communion responsibility. So Corwin's got trains in the back. He's got, you know, stuff set up. He's throwing every trick he can to just, you know, stay here as long as he can to, before he has to go tend to his sheep, right? So the Lord, just like David, you know, whenever David gets anointed king and then they turned around, this was a word for me from Rob Lotzenizer, David gets anointed king and they turn around and send him back out to the field to tend his sheep. So that's pretty much what, you know, where we're at. We're out in the field. I got four little sheep that I'm chasing after. So so the importance of growing deep roots. When you're in this place of waiting, when you're in this season where, you know, the Lord is just telling you to hold, you know, he's just saying, you know, you can't beat the door down right now. You just have to hold. And the worst thing you can do is step out of that place. You know, there's been so many times. My most, you know, for me personally, my most recent example of this is, you know, my wife and I have been, you know, waiting on a house. We've been waiting on some properties, a house, something, you know, and we were in this place where we went from the transition of, you know, we were in this small house. And when I say small house, I mean very small house. And it worked well for us when we had, you know, one kid. It worked pretty well. When you had two kids, it got a little cramped. By the time we had the third, it was bulging. I'm pretty sure the house was about ready to just explode and bust open. So we were in this place. We're waiting on a house, and of course, you know, the want for me was to move in a different direction, was to step out of this place of waiting for him. We wanted to, you know, of course you're standing there watching other people buy houses, you know, and Marie and I got to the point where, you know, it wasn't even a thing of, you know, we could afford a house. I could go buy a house if I wanted to. I could have chose to move off of what the Lord had for me. You know, you get to watch, you know, even watching my friends as you're excited for them, you're watching your friends buy a house, and then you're watching your friends add on to the house that they bought, you know, and you're still sitting in the waiting, you know, you're still get to be here in the waiting. So the Lord did finally, you know, last year, Marie and I bought a house, and it was actually a better house than we could have built. Our dream was to build a house and on a piece of property, and that's what we were holding on to as we were in this spot, in this waiting. So the Lord began to provided this just a totally different experience for us. So it was great. It was, you know, something we couldn't have seen, but the temptation was there. Is more what I'm going after. The temptation was there for us to say, you know, let's just go buy something, you know, let's just go, you know, I can't wait any longer. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do this myself. Let's step out, you know, and it's not that the Lord won't provide for you in that, you know, if you step out in the wrong direction, you're heading the wrong way, he'll follow you. He'll provide for you. His favor is still there. He's still, you know, he still loves you. He'll still go, but it might not be exactly what he had for you if you can't wait in that place. So I began as I was looking through this to say, okay, if I'm a tree planted, okay, so let me give you this scripture here too, just so, and I pulled it out, of course I did. So this is Ephesians 16 through 19, Ephesians 3, I'm sorry, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And I had it marked in my Bible, and I pulled my marker out. Okay. And it's a pretty well commonly known, and in 16 it starts with, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So as the Lord directed me to this verse, I began to see that, you know, again, with growing deep roots, the Lord has you, you know, just as Kevin was sharing, you know, he's strengthening you in the spirit, in the inner man, you know, he's strengthening you. And that's what he's looking to do when you're in this place of waiting. He's strengthening you in the spirit, in the inner man, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You know, he's trying to grow these deep roots, rooted and grounded in love. And so I began to say, okay, Lord, what causes me to move out of this place? What causes me to lose my roots? You know, what keeps me, what do my roots need to be deep for? What is the wind? Back to my analogy before about the tree. What is the wind that is strengthening my tree? What is the, and obviously, you know, I think there are a lot of things that we can look at here as wind that strengthens your tree when you're in this place. The Lord began to show me that, you know, obviously there can be spiritual attacks that come your way, you know, things from the enemy, the fiery darts that he can throw at you. But the main one he began to point out to me is relationships, is becoming offended, you know, and working through this. And I really feel that, you know, the Lord's looking for two things out of all of us. He's looking for relationship with Him, right? Being strengthened in the inner man. Those are His main things. He's looking for relationship with Him, and He wants to see our relationship with everybody else. He wants to see our relationship with each other. And that's the wind that's going to strengthen your tree. That's what's going to grow deep roots, is if you can hold through that. Most of the time, the Lord's telling me the enemy wants me to get offended. That's how I'm going to move out of this place of waiting in Him. Is if I can get offended, whether it's at my wife, whether it's at my kids, whether it's at a friend who says something to me, whether it's jealousy because they got something that I thought I should have, or because the Lord provided something for them, but He didn't provide something for me. And so soon we begin to move out of that. Those offenses begin to rise up in us, and we begin to move and look for something else. That begins to give life to our discontentment that's inside of us. So pretty soon I'm looking for a new church. I'm looking for a new job because someone at my job, I got offended. I should have had that promotion over someone else. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't look for a new job if that's what the Lord's calling you to. I'm just saying there are options where we can move. You know, I'm looking for a new friends. You know, I'm looking for. Eventually it can come down to you looking for a new spouse. I'm looking for new kids. I'm looking for, you know, however you become offended, you know, there's so many different ways that it causes us to move without our deep roots, without being rooted and grounded in Him. We begin to move out. So here's a couple quick things that I began to realize through this season of growing deep roots and of this all being challenged. I began to realize the importance of hope. I began to lose my hope at some point. You know, I still had faith. You know, I was trying to hold on to love, but I didn't realize the importance of hope. You know, and hope is that thing that keeps you going, that you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope is the thing that keeps you able to wait, you know, to stand in His hope. Okay, let me reference a quick, which one was about? Isaiah 18:17. I'm just going to run over a couple quick verses here. It says, Isaiah 8:17 says, "And I will wait on the Lord who hides His face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in Him." Lamentations 3:26 says, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So I began to realize that you know, I hold on to hope through this season. And if you're struggling with this, if you're struggling with holding where you're at, you know, hope is what we're rooted and grounded in love in our relationships. You know, so pay attention to being offended. Watch your relationships, and begin to cry out for hope. Begin to see hope again. The other thing that I began to do, and this, I have no clue if this, this is just something that works for me, but I began to write down, I guess this would help with my hope thing, but I began to write down about 5 things on a note card that were totally, that I had no reason to have hope for. Okay, these are 5 dreams, 5 visions. I don't care what they are. They could be about your job, they could be about promotions, they could be about, you know, your marriage, your getting married, your kids, whatever it is, write them down. And I would write them down and I stuck them in my wallet and I'd carry it around for me. And I probably did this in the last 15 years. I'll bet you I've done this about 5 times. And at some point in that, you know, 3 or 4 year period that I'm carrying this card around with me, I would pull it out and I'd say, wait a minute, I think that's one of the things I wrote down. And I'd pull it out and I would get to check off like 3 or 4 things off the list. Of things that I wrote down that were just, you know, seemed totally out of character or out of, you know, the realm of possibility with where I was at. And so I just want to encourage you to just kind of, you know, write some things down. You know, be a little, if you feel like you're in this place where you're stuck, where you're waiting on these dreams and visions to come to pass, you know, don't move. Write them down. Write them down and just hold. Hold and wait and see what he'll do, you know. And watch the offenses, you know. Work through these offenses in relationship. Because, you know, the offenses will follow you. No matter where you go, you know, the offenses are what will cause us to step out of being in this place of in the waiting. And you can even, you know, the offenses can even be over something as simple, you know, back to my Rodney story about the 2 weeks and the kid. And, you know, Maria and I are both frustrated because she wants to be in the service. I want to be in the service. We're both in the same place. We're both looking for the Lord. And he has us in the same place of this waiting, just hang out there. And of course, then, you know, right about then that time, someone comes up to us and they're like, oh, this Rodney thing's been so good. You guys are missing it, you know? And it's like, yeah, isn't that true? I'm stuck here missing it. But that's my opportunity to get offended. That's my chance to say, all right, I'm out. You know, I'll see you guys later. I'll go to Bethesda up the road or something that'll have something there. So we're going to end with a little bit of ministry time for anybody that wants some hope. If you guys have any directions, Kevin, Katie, Corwin, anybody has any direction, we can, you know, but so just some, anybody that wants, you know, prayer for hope, prayer for, you know, growing deep roots in love, standing in this place, then we'll go ahead and do the ministry and speak over that. I was waiting on a couple other verses here just to throw out for encouragement. And obviously the one is, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then I was holding one for Corwin. Corwin, this is your verse. Corwin is definitely in the University of Waiting. So he is in this, but Psalms 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. So that is that's Corwin's word there. So I think so. Anybody that wants prayer, you can come on up. Kenny, you got something here? We'll grab the. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just close. We'll close with a blanket prayer, and then anybody that wants anything from there, we can come on up. So. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for meeting us here today. Father, we thank you for the hope that you have given us in you. And Father, we just ask that you would instill in us patience and that we would not be discouraged and that you would strengthen us in our inner man so that we may be rooted and grounded in love, Father, and that you would grow deep roots so that we can withstand the storms and withstand the offenses, and that we would stand and wait on you, Father, that we would wait in you while we wait on you, Father. Amen.